أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة
Safidurus for Malik, please complete the soul state and the rose and fill in all the gaps. Allahu Akbar. الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. سميع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Inshallah, after the remaining dua, Mufti Abu Bakr Sirat will be delivering his tafsir of the last 10 surahs, Surah Fatiha. And the last 10 surahs, all brothers are kindly requested to participate. Jazakallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Alaykum as-salam. Allahumma anta as-salam. Alaykum as-salam. Tabarakta idhan jalala. Alaykum as-salam. Alaykum as-salam. Alaykum as-salam. Alaykum as-salam. Alaykum as-salam. اللهم صل خطرنا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين. Brothers, I kindly request you to come close to the member. Jazakallah.
الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الفلق من شر ما خلق ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب ومن شر النفاثات في العقد ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending salutations upon my master Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once again reminding ourselves that it's through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the favor of my Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam upon us that we have been blessed with the opportunity to sit in the masjid and listen to the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the Holy Quran. Before commencing with the tafsir of قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ and قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ, I would like to clarify two points that were made in the last session, last Friday. The first was that I mentioned that when a person, he does good deeds with the intention of achieving greatness in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes doing good easy for him. And I mentioned that when a person does bad deeds and he commits sins, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps him do bad. This is what was said. However, this is highly inappropriate. To say such words, the attribution of the negative things in our life and the negative events of our life to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is highly inappropriate. And this is something that we learn from Sayyidina Ibrahim ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam in the Holy Quran. Whereas Ibrahim alayhi salam is talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so he says, الَّذِي خَلَقَنِي فَهُوَ يَهْدِينَ, he is the one who created me and he guided me. وَالَّذِي هُوَ يُطْعِمُنِي وَيَسْقِينَ, he is the one who feeds me and gives me drink. Ibrahim alayhi salam continues and says, وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِي, and when I fall ill, he gives me cure. So this illness is a negative aspect of life. He attributes it to himself. And all the positive aspects of life, Ibrahim alayhi salam, he attributes it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we do good deeds, we attribute them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when we do bad deeds and we commit sins, we attribute them to ourselves, even though that they have happened because of taqdeer and they have happened with the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us ability to do this, but we don't say these words. So I just thought I'd go back to clarify. I was listening to the recording and I felt it was highly inappropriate for me to use these words, so I thought I'd clarify. The second clarification was that I referenced a verse of the Holy Quran when I was talking about the fact that all of the creation praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so there are two verses actually in this respect. There's one verse in Surah An-Nur where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَسْجُدُ لَهُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَالطَّيْرُ صَافَّاتِ. Do you not see that the dwellers of the heavens and the earth, they do sajda to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And this was in Surah An-Nur. And there's another verse in Surah Al-Hajj, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يُسَبِّهُ لَهُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. That do you not see that the dwellers of the heavens and the earth, they sing the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I sort of conflated both the verses and I put yasjudu in front of the first verse. So I thought I'd go back and clarify that also. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us from making mistakes. And when we do make mistakes, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to fix them where possible. Ameen, ya Rabbal Alameen. So moving on with the tafsir of Surah Al-Falaq and Surah Al-Nas. These two surahs are both Madani surahs. And they were revealed together. They contain 5 and 6 verses respectively. And they are also commonly known as Al-Mu'awwidhatayn for 2 reasons. Number 1, because they both begin with A'udhu, Qul A'udhu. And the second is because a person prays or should pray these surahs with the intention of gaining protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next thing I wanted to mention was that there's a term that I will use more and more often in the coming weeks, and that is shani nuzul. Or in Arabic we say sababun nuzul. And what this term means is that many times when a verse of the Quran is revealed or a chapter of the Quran is revealed, there is a story or there is some context behind the revelation of certain verses. And so this context we refer to as shani nuzul or sababun nuzul. And the shani nuzul of Al-Mu'awwidhatayn is that in the year 7th Hijri, in the month of Muharram, there was the Battle of Khaybar took place. Now, just for context, the Battle of Khaybar was a great victory for the Muslims. It happened soon after the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. And Khaybar is a place around 150 kilometers north of Madinatul Munawwara. And over there resided a group of Jews, a tribe of Jews. And they had, many of these Jews had gone against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they had previously had alliances with Manabi alayhi salatu wa sallam. But they had rebelled and they had broken these alliances. And so a decision was made that, an expedition take place to Khaybar. And I can't go into the story because it's a lengthy story. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the Muslims victory. And Khaybar brought so much wealth to Madinatul Munawwara that many scholars say that it was the time when the tide sort of turned in the favor of the Muslims. And so this created a lot of jealousy amongst the non-Muslims as well. This is a point to remember. Inshallah, we will come back to this point in the tafsir of the surah. Now, soon after the return from the conquest of Khaybar, my Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam fell ill. And the nature of his illness was such that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam would think that he has done something, but he hadn't actually done it. And this illness lasted. There are many different opinions, but the most authentic opinion seems to be that it lasted for around 6 months. And there are many prophetic traditions in this regard. And I picked out one from Bukhari Sharif, which Imam Bukhari has brought on the authority of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, who says that, and Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha qalat. This is, Amma Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says, سحر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حتى كان يخيل إليه أنه يفعل الشيء وما يفعله. He says that, she says that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, says سحر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, black magic was done upon my Nabi عليه الصلاة والسلام, and it resulted in a state that my Nabi عليه الصلاة والسلام thought he had done something when he had not actually done this. In another place, Sufyan Thawri Rahimullah says that this is one of the strongest forms of magic, of jadu, where a person thinks he has done something, but he's not actually done it. So it's a state of confusion all the time. حَتَّى كَانَ ذَاتَ يَوْمٍ دَعَى وَدَعَى ثُمَّ قَالْ أَشَعَرْتِ أَنَّ اللَّهَ أَفْتَانِي فِي مَا فِيهِ شِفَائِ. He says that this lasted for a while. See, one day my Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was constantly making dua and praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to Amma Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, that do you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed where my cure is for my illness? He says, Atani Rajulan. He says, two men came to me, and it was in a dream. Now, my Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam saw a dream, and two men came to my Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. فَقَعَدَ أَهَدُهُمَا إِنْدَ رَأْسِي وَالْآخَرُ إِنْدَ رِجِلِ He says that one of them sat near my head, and one of them sat near the blessed feet of my Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. فَقَالَ أَهَدُهُمَا لِلْآخَرِ He says, one of them said to the other, مَا وَجَعَ الرَّجُلِ قَالَ مَطْبُوبٌ He says, what's happened to this person? So the angel, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is communicating to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through a dream, through a conversation between two angels. My Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is listening to the conversation. This is one angel says to the other, that what has happened to this person? He says, matbubun, he's fallen ill. He says, waman tabahu, who has caused this illness? He says, the other angel said, labid ibn al-Asr. This is a person called labid ibn al-Asr. In another narration, we are made aware that it was Labid ibn al-Asim and his daughters. His three daughters and the father, they had done this. And how had they had done it? Again, in another narration we find that there was a child that used to come to the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to help in tasks. And he said that they had coerced this child into taking a comb which had the hair, the blessed hair of my Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon it, and they had used this comb to create this, to do magic upon this comb, to do sihr upon this comb, which has caused the illness to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To pause here for a second, we learn a lesson here, that when we are cutting our hair, or we are cutting our nails, we should be very, very careful when disposing of them. So we should make sure that we gather the nails together and we throw them in the bin and then make sure it's disposed of correctly. We shouldn't cut our nails outdoors or leave them, you know, lying on the streets, because there are many evil things around us. There are jinnat, there are evil people. They can take these items of ours that have been disposed and make, you know, negative use out of them and harm us. So we should do our own due diligence and make sure that we dispose of our bodily waste correctly. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. He said, the other angel said, قَالَ فِي مَاذَا He said, what has he done this sihr in? He said, فِي مُشْتٍ وَمُشَاقَةٍ وَجُفِّ طَلَعَةِ ذَكَرٍ He said, a comb, using the hair of the comb, they wrapped it up in the skin of the pollen of the male date tree. فَأَيْنَ هُوَ Said the other angel said, قَالَ فَأَيْنَ هُوَ Where is this? قَالَ فِي بِئْرِ ذَرْوَان Said, it is in the well of Dharwan. He said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to the well of Dharwan with some ashab, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, and he said they found under a stone, they found this, apparatus. If that's the correct word. They found this package. It says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam opened it up, and within the hairs there was 11 knots. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited the 11 verses of Al-Mu'awwidhatayn, Surah Al-Falaq and Surah Al-Nas. And at each verse he untied each knot. Because when he was finished, the illness lifted upon my Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam felt a lot better. Walhamdulillahi. Ala dhalika. Says that when my Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam returned, he said to Amma Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha that the trees near this well reminded me of the head of the devils. Ka'annaha ru'usu shayateen. And after that, Hazrat Aisha said that, Ya Rasulullah, you know, why didn't you take this package out and tell the people what had happened? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was rahmatul lil alameen, he was a mercy to all mankind. He said that, أَمَّا أَنَا فَقَدْ شَفَانِي اللَّهِ He said that for me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me shifa, Allah has cured me. And I feel like if I, you know, take this package and I announce what had happened, then it will cause fitna and it will cause evil to spread amongst the people. Evil in the way that people will then, you know, the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala ajma'in, who love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so much, they would try to take revenge, you know, upon this person. It would cause fights. Maybe the family members of this person would start fighting with the Sahaba. And there's many other fitnas that can come with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prolonging this. And so look at the wisdom and the mercy of my Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam. He chose to, you know, forgive. And he chose to let it go. And he said that now it's finished now. I'm feeling better. There's no need to continue with this. And so this is the hadith, the Sha'nu Nuzul of Surah Al-Falaq and Surah Al-Nas. Inshallah, many stories and many lessons to learn from this whole story and the revelation and the tafsir. From the virtues of these surahs, there's a very great scholar of the past, Hafiz Ibn Al-Qayyim rahimahullah. He says that these two surahs are more important to us than food and water. And he says these two surahs can protect us from the evil of the world, all the evil of the world, and all the trials and tribulations of the Akhirah as well. So it is important for us to make use of this, make a habit. Earlier we mentioned that you should make a habit of reading Surah Al-Fatiha multiple times a day. Personally, you find it easy if you make a habit of praying these surahs and adhkar after salah, whilst we are sitting for a few minutes, then we make it into a habit, then it's easy for us to pray. Otherwise, we don't have time, you know, we live such busy lives, we don't have time to stop and take out specific time. So it's nice to add it on to the end of our salah, make a habit of it, so that we continue to do this for years to come. And so it is also preferable to include the recitation of these two surahs after salah. If you make a habit of doing it every day after every salah, then we'll be protected five times a day. You know, we will end up reading these surahs. Moving on to analyze the two chapters, the ulama point out that in Surah Al-Falaq, we find, when we will go on to translate it, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to seek refuge from the trials of this world and the evil of this world and the troubles that we could find in this world. And in Surah An-Nas, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding us to seek refuge from the trials of the Akhirah. In Surah Al-Falaq, the dunya, in Surah An-Nas, the Akhirah. In Surah Al-Falaq, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only mentions one of his qualities. In Surah An-Nas, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions three of his qualities. Upon this, the ulama say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sending a message to us to say that the trials and tribulations of the world are trivial compared to the trials and tribulations of the Akhir. So we should focus our efforts more on the Akhirah than the world, because the world is full of trouble. The world is full of pain. The world is full of problems. Throughout our lives, we experience problems. And actually, there is a glad tiding in this. The person who feels more problems, first of all, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us afiyah. Because we are weak and we don't like problems. We don't like trouble. We don't like issues. We like happy life. And that's how we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the happy life and happy akhirah, and that's how we want to be. However, if a person does come across trials and tribulations in the dunya, he should not become despondent. He should not become sad. He should not become suicidal. Why? Because the trials and tribulations of the dunya are a way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bringing us closer to Him. I remember in one of the bayans, one of the last sermons I heard of my respected late ustad, Hazrat Shaykh Malik Yusuf Mutala rahimahullah, he mentioned that this hadith, wherein my Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, "Ashaddu bala'an al-anbiya, thumma al-amthal fal-amthal." He said, from all the humans, and from all the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ones who experience the most difficult times and the greatest tragedies were the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, and then those like them, and then those like them. So When we do face trials and tribulations in the dunya, we should understand that we are simply getting a little bit of the taste what the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam received. And we have hope that Allah is inflicting this upon us to, number one, forgive our sins. Those sins that we have not managed to ask Allah for forgiveness. And number two, Allah is bringing us closer to Him. One of my ustads once mentioned that sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has a status written for a certain slave of His. But Allah sees that this person's a'mal will not let him reach that stage, that very high stage that He has written for him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inflicts tragedies upon this person, and illness and difficulties, which makes this person obviously, he also contributes to as to how we deal with these illnesses and how we deal with these trials. If we start becoming despondent and we start getting angry with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this is not going to work. It's a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to pass the test we have to do sabr, and we have to do shukr, and we have to have patience, and we have to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person faces trials and tribulations and he does sabr and shukr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevates his status to the point that when this person is passing away, this person has done enough and has, he has bared enough during his life to reach that status, and then he passes away in a state of cleanliness, spiritual cleanliness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us afwa and afia, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ease in this world and the akhirah. Ameen. So, the next point. Many people have said that sihr is non-existent, that sihr is not true, and this whole hadith that's mentioned sihr is untrue. First of all, this hadith is in Bukhari Sharif, which is the most authentic book after the Holy Quran. Number two, the reason why these people try to deny the existence of sihr and magic, even though it is clearly mentioned in the Holy Quran, and is clearly mentioned in prophetic traditions, is because they claim that the black magic and what is mentioned in the hadith can disrupt the revelation of the Quran and how it reaches us. Say that Rasulullah ﷺ, this is what they say, that my Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was in a confused state. So how was he capable of then receiving the Holy Quran and then passing it on to us without making a mistake? وَنَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. Number one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made a promise that He will protect the Holy Quran. Number two, just like we get many other trials and tribulations in the world, such as that the Prophet ﷺ was not protected from. For example, at times, my beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was injured in battle. There was no worldly protection from this. The fact of the matter is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was a human being. And he used to have experienced pain. He would experience sadness. He would experience anger. So just like other humans, my Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was also susceptible to bodily injury. And black magic is also a dunyawi masail. It's a dunyawi trial and tribulation. And it was the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam were not protected from this. And the confused state that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam experienced during these months did not disrupt the flow of wahi, the revelation of the Holy Quran. This was promised by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Holy Quran, إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرَ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ, that we reveal the Quran and we will protect it. So when you bear in mind the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the prophetic tradition, the authenticity, one of the hadith that I just mentioned, that this is, you know, something that's made up by some people, and no, it's not like that, and sihr is true, black magic is true, it can happen, it happened to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave my Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam shifa, he gave him cure. And at the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught the whole ummah, this is how you protect yourself from not just black magic and sihr, but every other type of harm that you can face in the world. And also, you can use this surah to protect yourself from the trials and tribulations of the akhirah as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Ameen, ya Rabbal Alameen. The third point is, and it is important to understand this, that all evil in the world is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So first of all, it only makes sense for us to protect ourselves from this calamity by seeking refuge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from evil. Number two, it is highly important for us to understand this when we are experiencing difficulties as well. It strengthens our iman and it makes us stronger and it gives us a higher sense of durability. And it helps us to be stronger when facing the difficulties upon us. So for example, as Muslims, alhamdulillah, whenever we face difficulties, we can say, "Bas, it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's my Allah made this decision. I'm happy with this decision. I trust His wisdom. I trust His decisions." And that's the end of the matter. And we have that area where we can go to our comfort zone and we can go to that area and say, "No, this is the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." Whereas people who are deprived of iman, may Allah guide them all, they don't have this safety net. For them, when something sudden happens, a family member suddenly passes away, a car accident suddenly happens, lives change, they don't know what to do. So they resort to alcoholism, they resort to drugs. But that does not create peace within their hearts. So as Muslims, Allah is showing us that you have this to come back upon. You have this to keep yourself safe mentally and spiritually. You keep yourself safe. You protect your mental health and you protect your spiritual health through our iman and our understanding that all trials and tribulations come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and He simply wants good for me and nothing else. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and we move on. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Qul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq." Say, "I seek refuge in the Lord of the daybreak." The ulama say that this first word, "Qul," there is evidence of the risalah, of the messengership of my Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Tell the people." So this is a message from Allah through Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the people, which shows evidence of the nubuwah and the messengership and the prophethood of my Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Next, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes Himself as Rabbi Falak, the Lord of the daybreak. Why Falak? Why? So the ulama say that the wisdom in the use of the word Falak here is that the daybreak, the night, when the night sets in, many evils begin. Drug dealers start doing their dealing. People with evil intentions, the pubs start to get filled up. The parties start, the thieves come out, they start to, you know, people, maybe nowadays they do, but generally speaking, people don't thieve in broad daylight. You know, you don't see a thief wake up in the morning, "Let me start my job," and start going around robbing people. Generally speaking, they come out at night time and they go into empty houses and they prey on people that are walking alone in dark places and they attack them. And people with other, you know, grotesque intentions, they come out at night and they start to, you know, cause fitna and shurur and evil within the community. And all of this, generally speaking, and also one of the most important points is that people who also get involved in black magic and sihr, they also do these activities in the dark. You know, they don't do it in the middle of the road, you know, during the day. They do these activities in the dark, in places where there are evil jinnat and shayateen, places where there is water, lake, by the sea, in the forests. And when the daybreak happens and the day starts, then all of these bad things stop. The thieves and the rapists and the magicians and all the other people who have been involved in causing evil throughout the night, they all, you know, they need to rest as well. So they go to sleep. And the day comes and all of these things end. So the wisdom behind the use of the word Rabbi Falak is that, Ya Allah, the way you brought the day to end the evil of the night, you also protect us from the evil of the night. This is what the ulama have, you know, written in their understanding of this verse. Wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala a'lam. The reason why we have to understand and we have to say Wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala a'lam is that it is very much possible that there are many, many, many other interpretations and reasonings why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used these specific words in this specific place. But we don't have all of this knowledge. This knowledge is with maybe other scholars and in other books. And with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as mentioned in the earlier session, the knowledge of the Qur'an is limitless. The knowledge of the Qur'an is limitless. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Min sharri ma khalaq. From the evil of that which Allah created. Ma khalaq is a very generic statement. It includes all of the creation in existence. So this is a generic statement. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding us to seek refuge in Allah and to seek protection in Allah from all of the evil in the world. After this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then specifies three types of evil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمِن شَرِّ غَاسِقٍ إِذَا وَقَبَ. And from the evil of the darkness when it spreads. To explain this, the same explanation as we have done in Rabbi Falak, that when the darkness spreads, the evil starts, and when the darkness ends, much of this evil ends as well. And in the next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمِن شَرِّ النَّفَّاثَاتِ فِي الْعُقَدِ. And from the evil of the blowers in the knots. So as mentioned in the story of Al-Mu'awwidhatayn, there was 11 knots. So how this magic and this sihr takes place is that they recite certain incantations that they have learned from. You know, sihr is something that is, the knowledge is amongst shayateen and evil jinnat. And these people who practice sihr, they go to these evil jinns and evil beings and they learn sihr of them. And they teach them how to perform these rituals. And so they recite certain incantations and spells and they make these knots and they blow on them to have this specific effect. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is indicating towards, number one, towards the story of the sihr upon my Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And number two, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that not this dua is not just for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but all humanity till the end of time. That in any time, in any place, in any zamana, if this happens, then, you know, we are protected from this. And even today, you know, there are certain countries in the world where it's very common. And so, especially when traveling around the world, we should be extremely careful with, you know, ourselves and do our own due diligence. Now, here, there is also another discussion, albeit slightly bravely, I walk into this discussion. Nafathat, the ulama say that there are two possible meanings for nafathat. Number one is a generic meaning, that the blowers is talking about men and women in general. So all humans, from any of them, anybody who practices black magic, we seek protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from them. The second opinion is that nafathat is specifically from the sigha of women. Now, here we have two opinions or two categories which you can relate it to. Number one, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking specifically about the story of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which, and he's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the daughters of Labid ibn al-Asr, that they were the ones that were blowing on the knots and saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam seeks protection from them. However, and this is where I'm really getting brave now, other scholars see that no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about women in general. And the scholars say, and I had a quick look as well on the internet, and it seems that some scientists and psychologists have also mentioned this in their writings as well. I have to bring the psychologists into it to protect myself from people saying I'm saying nasty things about women. However, they say that generally speaking, men are more impulsive. When someone does something to us, we are more likely to react there and then, deal with the problem and walk away. So for example, someone swears at us, we'll punch him, or we'll swear at him back. Our anger is hot, it's ready, we serve it nice and warm, the revenge, and then it's the end of the matter, we walk away. Sometimes we even shake hands and say, okay, I'm sorry, you're sorry, and it's all finished. And we're impulsive and we react there and then. Whereas women tend to be not so impulsive and they hide things within them and then they like it, the revenge nice and long and cold, served cold. And it says that things like poison and things like sihr are things that take time. They take a long period of time. You have to make preparations and then you have to do the spells and the incantations and then things, you know, move into motion and then the effect takes place. Same thing with poison. Many times poison takes a long time to affect the person and then in the end, you know. So it seems that certain scholars have said this, that it is specific to women, and other psychologists and researchers have also said that, you know, it is within the nature of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created women. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all of us from being revengeful people and people with anger and hate in our hearts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all of our women. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all forms of protection. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the correct understanding. Now, another important point that needs to be mentioned here is, along with black magic that has been mentioned, there is the reality of the jinnat, the reality of Nadr-e-Bad that we need to speak about. Jinnats are a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like us, we have good jinnat and we have evil jinnat. And sometimes evil jinnat, they interact with human beings and they harm them. And sometimes, human beings, we as humans, sometimes it can happen that we are affected by such trials and such difficulties. There are a few things here. Number one, to be protected from such attacks, the answer is simple. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ and قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. And that's the end of that. If we continue to pray this on a daily basis, we have hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect us from this. However, if it still happens, then we have to understand that no, this was the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second point is an important point. Many times what happens is that people, they falsely attribute their states of confusion, their states of mental illness or mental health to jinnat. And they go to certain people, and many times, I'm not saying that all people who do this service are fraudsters or are cunning people. There are many scholars and many people who are experts in fighting jinnat, and they genuinely help people who have been afflicted with such illnesses. However, it has become in many years a very big business for certain people, where they say to somebody, you know, somebody comes to them and say, oh, you know, I'm feeling confused all the time and I feel angry and I feel hate towards my spouse. And they say, oh, you've got a very big jinnat inside you. And oh, you have to do this and you have to do that. And they take really bad, you know, benefit from the situation in terms of monetary benefit. They say to them that, oh, I'll see you, but, you know, it'll cost you a lot of money. And I remember when I was teaching, there was one mother came to me and she actually said to me, I'm not just making these stories, I'm telling you based on the things that I've experienced from people. Now one mother came, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect her and keep her safe. She was going through very difficult times in life and she said to me that, you know, I've been to many of these peers and they've charged me £400, £500 for 10-minute sessions. And they've done a bit of, you know, blowing on me, they've prayed something. And, you know, I've been to so many of these people and they charge me more and more. And, you know, I've become, you know, poor now. I've, you know, I'm working hard. I'm trying to get rid of my, you know, illness. And these people, they have taken all my money. Once my respected late ustad, Hazrat Shaykh Malik Sumutala rahimahullah, mentioned in lesson that a man came to him and said that, Hazrat, you know, I've got big jinnat inside me. And, you know, they're causing me, they won't let me sleep at night. And I'm feeling very confused. And, you know, every night I'm tossing and turning and I'm getting all these thoughts and the shouting and the screaming at me and I'm going through a lot of difficulty. And I've been to many peers and they charge me thousands and thousands of pounds and nothing's happened. And, you know, I need your help. So Hazrat Rahmatullahi Alayhi said to the man that, okay, I'm going to tell you to do something. You have to promise that you listen to exactly what I've said to you and don't move away from these instructions. So the man said, no, of course, I'll do anything. So Hazrat Rahmatullah said to him that, okay, he asked him, tell me about your daily timetable. Tell me every single detail, whether you think it's relevant or it's irrelevant, tell me your daily timetable. So the man said to him that, you know, I eat at this time and I sleep at this time and I wake up at this time and waghayra dhalik. So he said that, Hazrat Rahmatullah said to him that, okay, do me a favor. So from now on, you eat at 6 p.m. And he said that halfway through your meal, when you feel like you are halfway through your meal, I want you to suddenly stop. And then I want you to go into the kitchen and wash your hands. And you know, the man is thinking that, you know, Hazrat has identified my jinnat and he's realized where this jinnat is and he's gonna sort it out for me. So Hazrat said to him, go into the kitchen and you wash your hands. Then I want you to leave the house and I want you to walk for 1 mile. When you have reached the 1 mile mark, turn around and go home again. And from that moment till the time you go to bed, you're not allowed to eat anything else besides a little bit of fruit. After 7 days, come back to me. So he says that the man, and this story, Hazrat Rahmatullahi himself, you know, said to us in class, I remember hearing it with my own ears. He said that 7 days later, he came back, he said, Hazrat, he said that, you know, I'm all better now. I'm completely cured. So Hazrat Rahmatullah said to him, that, so where did all them jinnats go? All these peers that told you that you had big, big jinnat inside you and they charge you thousands, and where have they all gone? So the man was confused. Hazrat, I don't know. So he said that, you know, the problem that you had was that you were overeating. You were eating so much. You were eating so much that, you know, the gas inside your body wasn't managing to get out. You were not doing exercise. So this was messing with you at night. It wasn't letting you sleep. All of the gases that have gathered inside you, they were making you feel uneasy. And these people that you went to, these, you know, so-called, you know, I don't know what they call themselves these days, these people who deal with jinnat, they just took, you know, advantage of you. And they robbed you. And there was nothing else to it. And one of my ustads, the Sheikh Mona Bilal Sahib Damal Barakatum, who is a Khalifa of the Sheikh Mala Muhammad Zakaria rahimullah, he's also mentioned that he has been helping people in this for many years. It's very rare that a genuine case comes where a person has actually been possessed. However, on the other side, this is a reality and it can happen. One of the most senior khulafa of Hazrat Sheikh Mala Muhammad Zakaria rahimullah, Hazrat Mufti Mahmud al-Hassan Sahib Gangohi rahimullah, there's two stories about him when he visited England. He said that one of them I heard from Hazrat Sheikh Mala Yusuf Matala rahimullah himself, and the other was from a family member. He says that when Hazrat Mufti Mahmud al-Hassan Sahib Gangohi rahimullah visited England and he was residing in Darul Uloom Berry in the 80s, the Hazrat was staying in a room and there was a man from Bolton who had a jinnat problem, as in he'd been possessed, he genuinely had been possessed by a jinn. And he says somebody went to Hazrat Mufti Mahmud al-Hassan Sahib Gangohi rahimullah, who was renowned for being very powerful in this field, because of his spiritual strength and the connection he had made with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was very easily able to deal with these issues. So he said that the brother of the patient came, said, Hazrat, my brother is in a lot of distress and this has happened. So he said that, ring him. So he rang him and the brother answered the phone, but it was the jinnat, it was the jinn he was talking on the phone. And Hazrat Mufti Sahib said to him that, I want you to leave this person alone now. I want you to leave this. And the guy, the jinn said, no, I'm not going to leave him alone. So he said on the phone, he said to the jinn that, okay, I'm coming. And he put the phone down. He just said to him, I'm on my way. And he put the phone down. And suddenly he rang back. He said, tell Mufti Sahib that you stay where you are, I'm going. And since that day, the jinnah left the person and he was, alhamdulillah, he had never been affected with this illness again. And another time there was this young girl, this is an authentic story I heard from the family themselves, that who had, one thing is an actual jinn possessing you. That is the height and the most severe form of this affliction. However, there's another lighter form where you can simply have the effects of the jinnat upon you. So this young girl had the effects of the jinnat upon her. And he said that, the family were in a lot of distress because she wasn't acting correctly and she was acting strange and she was going through a lot of difficulties in her life herself. He said that Hazrat Mufti Mahmud al-Hassan Sahib rahimahullah had visited the home of that family and he didn't know about this issue. So then at the end of the day when Hazrat was leaving, he said that the mother, she was in parda, she came out and said, Mufti Sahib, please, look at my daughter, she's in a lot of pain and I think there's some athar here. So he said, Bulawa, he said, call her here. So he said, she came down the stairs and she stood halfway down the stairs. Hazrat Mufti Sahib simply looked at her and walked away. And he said that the girl was cured since that day. And this is the effect of the eye. The eye, I'm going to go on to another topic now of Nadhri Bad, the evil eye. Now the eye, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us. And he has put such an effect in our eyes that they can have a very good effect on people and very negative effects on people as well. So Hazrat Rahmatullah had looked at her, with the eyes of a pious person. And all this whole problem went away. And many scholars say that sometimes all it takes is for a very pious person to simply look at you and it can change your entire life. It can change your entire life. You can turn into a really good person. Imagine. The Sahaba, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, reached their status of being Sahaba. Simply, how does a person become a Sahabi? He has to simply look at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whilst the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was alive in the state of Iman. As in the person is in the state of Iman, he's become a Sahabi. So just the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looking at them turns them into Sahabi. So imagine, the pious people, they're looking at us also has a nice and a positive effect on us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the suhbah and the companionship of his pious servant. The opposite side of this is the evil eye, Nazri Bad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also put the power within our eyes that we can negatively affect the thing that we are looking at. Sorry. Whether it is a human, whether it is materialistic item, and there are many examples of this. Personally, I've experienced as well. The way that we can combat this negative effect that can come from us, many times we don't even mean it. We don't even have an intention of having a negative effect, but it just happens because Allah has put this effect within our eyes. So for example, we have children in our family, sometimes it's our own children or it's our nephews or nieces, and they're young babies. And we look at them with so much love because they're so cute, mashallah, they're so beautiful. So that's why we should always, when we look at something beautiful or someone beautiful, a child or somebody's brand new car that they've bought or somebody's bought a new house or a community have managed to build a new masjid, we should always say, mashallah, mashallah, mashallah. This, takes the negative effect of the shayateen away because we are bringing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name into it. And there's obviously many more things we can speak about, but we do need to move on. So it is important for us to understand the reality of the evil eye and how to protect ourselves from people giving us the evil eye and from us giving other people the evil eye as well by taking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seeking protection from Allah, in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from all of these evils. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. In the next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمِن شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدٍ, and from the evil of the jealous ones when they are jealous. Firstly, the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned jealousy here is because, as mentioned earlier in the lecture, the event and the incident of sihr taking place upon my Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam happened after the conquest of Khaybar and the battle of Khaybar. And I mentioned that conquering Khaybar brought a lot of wealth to the Muslim nation at the time. And in terms of wealth, it was the greatest and they gained the most profit and booty from this expedition. So the non-Muslim became very jealous. And it was this that caused them to go to Labid ibn al-Asim. The jealousy caused them to go to Labid ibn al-Asim and say, you're known for doing black magic, do something to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here has mentioned hasad and jealousy. Now, hasad is mentioned, just to clarify here, there are two things. Number one is when you see something good in someone, and number one, you feel jealous. This is that you, number one, you would like to have that thing as well, but at the same time, you have this strong desire within you that I wish that person loses that thing. For example, a childhood friend. You are struggling with house debt, or you are struggling with paying your rent. May Allah protect us from this, but sometimes it happens. And your friend, who you grew up together with, he's gone and bought a mansion. So you feel like jealous. Oh man, I wish it burns down. This is haram. This is jealousy. This is haram. We are not allowed to feel like this. And the beginning is having the feeling within your heart. The ending of this jealousy is when you physically go and do something out of jealousy. Like the kuffar, they saw the victory of the Muslim when they defeated Khaybar. They felt it within their hearts. In the end, it caused them to go and get black magic done upon my Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. This is haram. We are not allowed to feel like this. We should not feel like, oh, I wish this person loses this thing, and I wish, his house burns down or he crashes the car, whatever it might be. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from jealousy. Jealousy is a spiritual illness. And we can, if we feel jealous within us and we don't like it, we can go to the imam and our scholars and our elders and our teachers and explain to them that we are feeling like this, and they will give us certain dhikr to read and certain a'mal to do that will inshallah defeat this jealousy. It's a feeling that comes from shaitan. So we have to use the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to defeat the shayateen, so we can defeat these feelings of jealousy like this. Number two, there is something called ghibta. And this is when someone has something nice and you simply have this feeling within you that, oh, I wish I had this thing as well. But not, you don't have the feeling that I wish this person loses this thing. This is okay to have, this is no problem. And if it causes you to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then even better, then it's very good. And you should have feeling like this. Because in the end, this feeling is being a sabab of you turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, you know, you're not in a good financial situation and someone, they're doing very well in their business, so you feel, oh, I wish I had money too. Ya Allah, give me wealth. Ya Allah, make me rich. It's making you turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is no problem at all. This is actually a good thing. And as mentioned in one of the earlier sessions, we should try to have this feeling when it comes to a'mal salih. When it comes to good deeds, that my friend, he prays, you know, 4 rakats nafil after every namaz. I wish I could be like that as well. Oh, my friend, he's become hafiz al-Quran. I wish I could be like that as well. We should try to have this feeling in good things and not materialistic things. Although it's no problem to have it in materialistic things. It's just better for us to have it in terms of the good things, the good actions and good a'mal. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. The third thing, and last point of Kul A'udhu bi Rabbil Falaq, is that the three evils that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, Kul A'udhu min sharri ghasiqin idha waqab, wa min sharri nafathati fil uqad, wa min sharri hasidin idha hasad. From them, two things, they end. Jealousy and وَمِنْ شَرِّ غَاسِقٍ إِذَا the night ends and jealousy also ends. Normally, the jealousy, its height is right at the beginning when something bad has happened. And then as time goes on, then this jealousy dies down and you become accustomed to whatever it is that you are feeling jealous about. And the night also ends. But the second thing that's mentioned here, وَمِنْ شَرِّ النَّفَّاثَاتِ فِي الْعُقَدِ black magic. Normally, when a person is afflicted with black magic and it's not cured, it continues and continues and continues all the way till it's most intense when it can cause a person death. And it reminds me of the story of our Hazrat Shaykh Mulla Yunus Jampuri rahimahullah ta'ala, who was a very great scholar, who was a very great scholar of this time, and he was also a victim of sihr, and he passed away at old age in 2017. Many people who were close to Hazrat said that he suffered from black magic for many, many years. He says that the night that he passed away, the black magic took a very strong effect, and Hazrat was in a lot of pain, and many people who were close to Hazrat say that they felt like it was this pain that Hazrat was going through that eventually caused his death. Maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to give him the status of a shaheed. So this can happen, and normally it ends with a person passing away. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. And this brings us to the end of Surah Al-Falaq. Inshallah, in the next, again I was intending to finish off both Al-Mu'awidhatayn. However, time restricts us, and inshallah in the next majlis, we will continue with Surah An-Nas. This is a surah in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to seek protection from the trials and tribulations of the Akhirah. And so inshallah we will continue with that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from all the evil of the world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us true understanding of the harms and evil that is out there. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to seek protection through him from all evil. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in wa sallama tasliman kathiran kathiran.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة
سیدی فرمائیے اللہ اکبر الحمد للہ رب العالمین الرحمن الرحیم مالک یوم الدین إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين كلا إذا دكت الأرض دكا دكا
وجاء ربك والملك صفا صفا وجيء يومئذ بجهنم يومئذ يتذكر الإنسان وأنى له الذكرى يقول يا ليتني قدمت لحياتي فيومئذ لا يعذب عذابه أحد ولا يوثق وثاقه أحد الله. سمع الله لمن حمده الله الله أكبر الله الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين يا أيتها النفس المطمئنة ارجعي إلى ربك راضية مرضية فادخلي في عبادي وادخلي جنتي الله سمع الله لمن حمده الله الله أكبر الله 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 أكبر الله سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina. Bi rahmatika ya.